Hello and rise up. I'm Coy Wire here with your 10 minutes of news. We have a labor strike sending folks scrambling, figuring out how they're going to get to work. We have the search for a bevy of uncovered dinosaur fossils and a marathon on top of one of the seven wonders of the world. Big show. We start though with the major tornado alerts causing concern across the central U.S. A destructive series of storms stretching from Texas to the Great Lakes has produced more than 24 reports of tornadoes, baseball-sized hail, and wind gusts over 70 miles per hour in recent days. The widespread outbreak of storms is being fueled by a big surge of jet stream energy interacting with large amounts of moisture in the Plains region. The National Weather Service confirmed at least one tornado touched down over the weekend in the small town of St. Labore, Nebraska. Drone footage has captured a dramatic rescue there. Two people and a dog pulled from the basement of a home that had collapsed during the storm. And the same system that is bringing dangerous tornadoes and storms to the Central Plains and Midwest is also the culprit behind wildfire threats farther west. Dry air and heavy winds have led to critical wildfire warnings from parts of Kansas to New Mexico. Meteorologists say these severe weather threats could continue through the first half of the week, with strong winds, hail, and possible tornadoes keeping communities on alert. In New York, a transit strike has left more than 250,000 commuters on Long Island scrambling to figure out how they're going to get to work this week. Workers with the Long Island Railroad, North America's busiest commuter rail system, have been on strike since Saturday. Negotiations between union leaders and railroad management stretched late into the night Sunday, but as of this taping, no deal had been reached on wages, healthcare contributions, and work rules. Now, commuters are being forced to pivot. Some carpooling, hopping buses, or ferries. Officials say extra trains will be on standby where possible, and shuttle buses will transport residents from Long Island to subway stations in Queens. But for many, this week may feel less like a commute and more like an obstacle course. Pop quiz, hot shot. What year did the Korean War begin? 1960, 1948, 1972, or 1950? If you said 1950, you know your stuff, history buff. The Korean War began on June 25th, 1950. A 1953 armistice agreement established a formal ceasefire, but a peace treaty between the two countries was never signed. A rare breakthrough on the Korean Peninsula is taking place this week, not in politics, but on the soccer pitch. North Korea's women's soccer team has arrived in South Korea for the first time in more than 7 years, preparing for a high-stakes semifinal against South Korea's Suwon FC in the Asian Club Cup. The women are being hailed as heroes by North Korean Supreme Leader Kim Jong-un and remain under tight supervision by their government. But with relations between the two countries practically frozen solid, this visit is raising hopes that sports could help thaw tensions, even just a little. Our Will Ripley has more.
On Wednesday, millions of Koreans in the North and South may be watching the same soccer game, but they'll be living in two completely different realities. And those worlds collided during the arrival of Pyongyang's Naegokyung women's soccer team over the weekend, creating a massive media frenzy at the airport in Seoul. Crowds turned out to cheer on the North Korean delegation of more than 36 players and staff. The athletes certainly stood out in their matching dark blazers and skirts and heels and lapel pins featuring the faces of North Korea's late leaders. The players carefully followed protocol, avoiding interaction with cheering crowds as they move quickly and quietly past the cameras. The two Koreas are technically still at war, so the team had to fly through Beijing because direct inter-Korean flights remain banned. Instead of a one-hour flight, the trip took closer to half a day. The bus carrying the team left the airport under police escort. South Korea approved a special entry exemption for the delegation, while civic groups organized so-called peace cheering events for both sides. Officially, both governments insist this is about sports, not diplomacy. But sports on the Korean Peninsula almost always never really is just about sports. The last major thaw in inter-Korean sports diplomacy helped pave the way for the historic 2018 summits involving Kim Jong-un, South Korean leaders, and President Donald Trump. Still, experts caution against reading too much into this moment. Relations between the North and South remain deeply strained. Kim Jong-un has abandoned decades of official policy favoring peaceful reunification while North Korea continues weapons testing and increasingly close military ties with Russia. Naegokyung means my hometown in Korean, and women's soccer has become one of North Korea's biggest sources of national pride. Kim Jong-un reportedly treats these players like national heroes.
Running 26.2 miles is already enough to make your legs file a complaint. But if you really want to level up the challenge, try doing it on one of the seven wonders of the world, the 2,000 plus year old Great Wall of China. Well, I'll be darned. More than 1,400 runners from over 50 countries started their run in the Huangyaguan section, and things escalated quickly. Thousands upon thousands of steep stone steps where ancient battles once took place. Some runners turned into crawlers on their hands up the stairs. At one point, they went through the Chinese countryside where locals cheered them on with unbelievable energy. The event started in 1999 with just 350 runners. More than two decades later, it's become an international bucket list race for athletes chasing greatness one painful step at a time.
It was brutal. And the last little bit on the wall, gnarly.
Yeah, but that's a bit, but yeah, a lot of fun. Wow, unreal. Great to race out here, hey? Wow.
Absolutely
amazing.
Safe to say this marathon really raises the bar and wreaks havoc on the calves. Now to a dynamite discovery crew digging deep into the prehistoric past. Utah is Triceratops when it comes to dinosaur fossils, but experts say countless ancient bones are still buried underground, just waiting to be uncovered. Here's a behind-the-scenes look at the team piecing together history one fossil at a time.
Inside the lab at the Natural History Museum of Utah, Tyler Berthesel spends his days doing something most people would never have the patience for.
That's an interesting piece. I think it's part of this part right here.
Taking this.
Look at these tiny little pieces.
Yeah.
And somehow recognizing a 75 million year old dinosaur.
Oop. That fits there, and that creates the little back of the skull there.
After fossils are pulled from the Utah desert.
This is the front end of one of our duck-billed dinosaurs. So this is the neck. So these are all the neck vertebra.
They land here.
I'm blown away by being in here.
Yeah, this is where all the magic happens.
Where Tyler and his team of volunteers chisel, drill.
And we slowly chip the rock away from the bone.
And slowly puzzle them back together, piece by piece.
This is my specialty, is the puzzles over here. I can just put on a audiobook or a podcast or my music and sit here for hours slowly puzzling chips together to turn them into something more complete.
And the tool that helps hold prehistoric history together may surprise you.
The last thing they have to do is pretty much glue these two pieces together.
Yeah, regular old super glue. It's a process that's slow and steady.
It's typically a 5 to 10 year process.
But for Tyler,
and it's always that eureka moment, like, oh, I know what that fossil is now.
The patience is worth it.
What's that moment feel like for you when you see it take shape?
For me, it's the most exciting. Like, this has been in the ground for millions of years, and I am the first thing to see it fully exposed.
His childhood fascination with dinosaurs never faded.
For me, it's like I never outgrew that dinosaur phase as a kid.
Many of these discoveries are happening right here in Utah.
Every year we go out, we find a brand new animal no one's ever seen before.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, a Las Vegas teen soaring flying into his sweet 16. Now, most teens dream about getting their driver's license, but George Kingman V had his head in the clouds, dreaming of soaring over the traffic. After 4 years of training, the 16-year-old's dream took flight literally.
Yay, buddy!
George says he originally hoped to join the Navy, but after being diagnosed with celiac disease, he had to change course to commercial aviation. Thanks to the Rancho High School Aviation Magnet Program and training through their West Air Flight Academy, he's now living out a dream he's had since the age of 12. Talk about reaching new heights even before reaching adulthood. In the world of birthday celebrations, this one is up there. All right, tomorrow is Your Word Wednesday, so submit those unique vocabulary words and the definitions to the comment section of our latest posts at CNN10, at CoyWire on Instagram, and we're going to choose one winner to work into tomorrow's show. We have a shout-out today going to Miss Claire at the Boys and Girls Club of Palm Springs in California. Thank you for all the drawings. You may just be seeing some of those on our wall of friends very soon. And shout out to Mrs. Reedy at CCSD's Transition Academy in Gillette, Wyoming. During their visit to a local community college, they made this souvenir at the Science Center. Thank you so much for thinking of the show and proving learning is the coolest souvenir. Remember, you're more powerful than you know, and no matter what life throws at you, just rise up. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.